I'm Karen Dodd. I am the founder of what we call the Freedom Network, which I set up last year on the back of joining the Keep Britain Free movement that was set up by Simon Dolan. And through that movement, he had a website that he was crowdfunding to keep Britain free. And I put some money in his pot. And then I asked his team to create something on his website so people could find each other locally. And that happened. And then the next time I went on, there was a group in Brighton. I think there were five, and they did their first Zoom call. And then we had a meeting in a pub. We moved the meeting to where I'm at in East Sussex. And then the numbers just started to swell. Although we stayed under the name of Keep Britain Free, we realised it wasn't just about the Keep Britain Free group. It was people talking about 5G, freedom fighters, all sorts of people were coming forward. So I then decided to take it further and network with various freedom groups. And it just evolved naturally. I put up a website, thought, what do we call it? And somebody said, I think I'd written, I said, well, it's the Freedom Network, isn't that what we're doing? And that's how it evolved. And I'm sort of surprised at how it's taken off, but also not surprised because of the emails I get from people that are really, you know, craving to find community and like-minded souls in this sea of craziness. You know,
it is. Yeah, I mean, certainly it's. I mean, I describe the radio and the TV now like the psycho in the corner that you switch it on and you think, good God, what's it coming out with today? And then rather swiftly switch it off again.
Yes, it's. I mean, I don't watch the TV. I haven't paid for my license for some time now, and I don't watch the TV, even just to check in, because I just find it so sickening. But if I'm in the car, I'll hear something. And of course, through the Telegram groups and the WhatsApp groups and other groups, you've got an idea of what's going on, and people send me a lot of stuff. So I know exactly, well, not exactly, but I've got an idea of what's going on. I just find it, to me, it wastes my time looking at that stuff. But I might buy a random newspaper if there's a heading. I think, oh, what they're talking about now? What, you know, what nonsense are they sharing?
Anyway, Karen, I mean, you're obviously now an activist. Tell me a little bit about your background. What were you doing in a few years ago?
A few years ago, I'd set up a charity, actually, in Africa, in Sierra Leone and Uganda. I helped a friend. She was going off to Sierra Leone to help orphans, and she invited me over. I'd lost my mother that year, and she'd left me some money, not a lot, a few thousand pounds. And I thought, okay, I'll go off to Sierra Leone and see what I can do. And I helped the orphans, but I was blown away by the poverty there. And I just thought, rather than helping the orphans, feed the orphans for a day and then go, you know, go back to your nice, comfortable home in England, let's do something a little bit more worthy. So I created a charity there with some locals called Friends of Chima and Kizzy. And now we've built six schools. We're working with the women against, it's still, you know, going on. We're working with the women against female genital mutilation. We've just put six wells into the schools. And we work, these schools are affecting loads of villages. So they're put in a place where lots of the village people can come. The children can walk to the school. So it's not just accommodating one village. It's, you know, accommodating hundreds of children. So okay. I was very happy doing that. And then I jumped over to the other side of Africa. I was on a holiday actually in Uganda, and I thought, I can't just do holidays now. I've got to see what, you know, if I can help somebody. So I was setting up a lodge in Uganda. Again, just something very basic, tents basically. We bought some land, tried to put some tents down and what have you. And then we just built our very first, like rondavel, our very first hut with a grass roof. And then this thing hit, this COVID hit. So I said to my contacts up there, I said, use the land we've got to just grow food. Forget the tourist industry because nothing's going to happen. And they didn't quite get it. And I said, really, just grow food and look after yourselves because I'm not going to be able to get over to see you for a year or two. I think, you know, probably until 2024, 25, I don't know. But so that's where my energy was beforehand. Plus, I was a yoga teacher, so I was running retreats and, you know, running my family, my home. I've got three children, two dogs and a cat. So it's quite busy doing, you know, normal, I say normal things, but the charity was keeping me very busy because I was constantly fundraising.
You know, you're now doing all this COVID networking. But what about your own personal story and your family? How has it, the plandemic affected you?
Well, I think I'm quite fortunate because all my family are on the same side. But because I've been doing this for, you know, it seems all my life. When I look back and somebody says, what was it that turned you, that woke you up? And I said, well, actually, I've always been nosy. I've always been looking. I've always been inquisitive. And I know, I've always known that there's something more. So as a youngster, I might have done, you know, gone into spiritualism or Ouija boards or into mediumship, and it fascinated me. And so I've always been looking for something more than just being on this planet. I know.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Ouija boards can be pretty dangerous, actually.
They can. Yeah, I wouldn't touch them with a barge pole now. But that's kind of when I was a, you know, a youngster, and it's just like one of the things kids do. In fact, I remember we were doing it in my sister's flat in Brixton. She was living above a funeral parlour, and we were having a go one night. And I, looking back at that, I think that's crazy. But obviously there is energy, you know, there is something other than our human form that surrounds us. And that just, I just find it really interesting.
Yeah. Well, so what do you think's going on with the COVID then? I mean, I'm assuming you're a bit like me. As soon as it all started happening, you realise there's something wrong.
Yeah. Immediately. I am astounded. I think many of us, and those of us that do know what's going on, I think we're just astounded at how quickly and how successful they have been at, you know, taking over the planet. It's happened so quickly. They've obviously tried, you know, through various other guises, through various other plandemics, I should say. When you look at all the other, you know, SARS and swine flu and bird flu and, I don't know, AIDS and Ebola, all these other things that I think they've tried, but this one's really stuck. And it's through the fear, isn't it? It's fear mongering. So fear, as many politicians in the past have said, if you want to control your people, then put fear, instill fear in them, and then they'll obey. And that's what's happened. And it's just mind blowing how, I say, indoctrinated the people have become.
Okay, I mean, yeah, but I mean, surely there's got to be some real fear in order to get people really afraid. You can't make fear up out of nowhere.
You can't. But do you remember back in whenever it was now? I mean, in China, when they were showing the footage, do you remember those videos when I was watching some clips on Facebook? And they were showing my friend, actually another Tony, who's in Ireland at the moment. But he was going bananas, actually, when the world was normal pre-COVID. He was going on about this flu thing in Wuhan. And I was saying, what's going on? And he picked it up and he was sending me all this stuff. And I thought he was going a little bit balmy, actually, but then I realised, you know, he cottoned onto something. Then watching these videos of the Chinese, do you remember, did you see any of them? When people were like sitting on a park bench and then they'd be dead, they'd just drop down dead, they'd fall off the park bench. Or you'll see cameras, you know, people driving around various places in China, and they'd be driving past people that were dead on the floor. And so there was this massive propaganda campaign. It was a propaganda campaign because I saw footage of it later where these allegedly dead people on the floor got up. They were, you know, crisis actors. And then I realized this film was made specifically for the West. They were showing it to us lot.
Well, apparently they were showing it on the Chinese TV first. And that's right. The sort of thing you get normally in China because they've got a mind control system there.
Yeah.
And and then it was just copied and pasted onto our TV screens.
And we believed it. But how many people have we seen sitting on a park bench or falling down dead in the street? I mean, how many of these people, you know, that have died of COVID, you know, where are they all dying? Are they dying on the park bench or in the park? Are they dying in the house? I don't think so. They're dying in, you know, well, we know where they're dying, in the hospitals, in the nursing homes. And what are they dying of? You know, from my understanding, there's been so many Freedom of Information Acts requesting proof, you know, isolation of the COVID. But there aren't any. There's none. It's not been isolated. So.
Well, yeah, but that's, I can tell you why I think that is because this is a bioweapon, and there's no way they're going to let military secrets out from a Freedom of Information request.
No, it's not.
You know, so I mean, certainly this version of SARS seems to me to be a kind of zooped up version of the 2003 SARS-CoV-1. This is something called SARS-CoV-2, and probably the biggest problem that's happened with the treatment of people basically is that they haven't been treated. There is treatment, and there was treatment for SARS-CoV-1, which was developed, which is ivermectin, chloroquine, these sorts of things were prescribed. And then suddenly they changed the name, got rid of the connection with SARS, and said, oh, there is no treatment. People are just going to have to try and keep breathing, and if they can't, get hospitalized. And once they're in hospital, their family or even you know, a family friend who's a doctor can do nothing to save them and prescribe them treatment. So there may have been, as Dr. Tess Laurie in Bath said she reckons something like 60,000 people died in Britain in 2020, who could easily have just simply been treated, and that treatment would almost certainly have avoided them having a trip to hospital. But there's something very big going on, isn't there? And I wonder if you could sort of take a step back, and how does this sit in history? Because we've never had anything like this before.
Well, we've had the plague, haven't we? Allegedly, we had the bubonic plague and the fire of London. And, what was all that about? Because we've been told all this stuff when we go to school and we're indoctrinated with this history. How true is any of it? You know, when you do start looking behind the scenes or lift up the carpet and you find the dirt and you realise you've been indoctrinated.
If you want to know how many people died in the plague, just go to Blackheath in London, which was one of the biggest plague pits in the country, where they were just chucking bodies in one after another. But the big thing is this SARS-CoV-1 or COVID-19 was not the plague, was it?
No, it's not the plague. And you know, are we ever going to be told the truth? Are we ever going to find out? Because I know more people now are getting really ill, very, very ill. But what are they getting it ill from? Is it because of the COVID, if you want to call it COVID, or is it because of the, you know, the cure, the vaccination? Is that what is making people ill? And just going back to like the nursing homes and stuff, I've got a brother, he's 60, 61, and he had a stroke a couple of years ago. So he is in a nursing home. He's got his faculties, but he can't walk. He's paralysed down one side. But other than that, he's bright. He's very intelligent. He kind of knows what's going on. And we got a phone call when through the lockdown saying, would we agree to him having a DNR put on his bed? And we said, well, what's a DNR? And they said, it was a do not resuscitate. And, you know, it was just shocking, absolutely shocking to think that somebody would even have the gall to ask us if we were going to, you know, if my brother was going to go into hospital, but we would allow him to die. So that was a wake up call. And then obviously our interaction with the nursing home that he was in, we had a bit of a battle. You know, we were banned from seeing him and all that kind of stuff. And one time I went to see him in the garden. I was sitting out there in the rain with my umbrella and he was inside because I haven't taken any tests. I'm not wearing the masks or anything. So they wouldn't let me in. But the nurse brought him to the window and he, in his wheelchair, he tried to get closer to the window. We were communicating by mobile phone because we couldn't hear each other through the glass. And then she came and pulled him back and she said, no, you've got to be, you know, 6 feet away from the window. And I'm just thinking, this is just how absolutely nonsensical the whole thing is. There's a bit of bloody glass between us. But again, the nurses and are still following these crazy rules. So I just thought I'd throw that one in.
Yeah. And now I know one of the great services you're doing, Karen, is, I mean, I know nobody can vouch for everything that's in your newsletter, of course, no. But you get sent a lot of stuff in just as I do. But you've actually taken the time and trouble roughly once a week to compile it all into a newsletter. And I'd just like to look at the most recent one you've sent me, which is 1st of September. And it starts off with this idea of working together, you say. There's no choice, even if you don't like who you're working with.
Yes. Do you agree?
Well, of course. I think we do have to pull together. Of course we do. Against a common enemy, where it seems what's happened is we've got a military-industrial complex, a deep state, that has failed militarily in the Middle East to do what it was trying to do, which was to take over Syria, et cetera, et cetera. And it's now turned on its own domestic population, rather like the Nazi Party turned on its domestic population in the 1930s.
Yes. Well, it's kind of like the 1930s now, isn't it, what we're going through? I think the working together thing is crucial, and that's come to me. Well, basically, the whole thing evolves with the Freedom Network. I never knew, you know, where it was going to go. I thought I'd just set up a website and people could find each other. But it's something I could walk away from now, to be honest, because, it's set up and it's established. And we've got over 370 groups all over the country and some overseas. We've got about 50, you know, globally outside the UK. But I can't walk away because I feel this is a mission that I'm on. I've got a job to do here. But the working together thing is because I'm aware of, there's a lot of egos that are popping up in this whole movement. A lot of people are sort of doing their thing, which is wonderful. But I find some of them are kind of clinging onto it for possibly the wrong reason. you know, they're on the stage and they've got their 15 minutes of fame, and maybe they don't want to merge with other groups. So it's like their baby, and they're thinking, no, well, you know, we've set that up.
You know, I've seen exactly that happening, you know, where somebody who's one of the, I mean, this is actually last year in the anti-lockdown, using their platform to do things like criticise Black Lives Matter and this kind of thing, where you think, actually, that's exactly what the deep state wants. It wants the various different protest movements. And good God, there's enough, aren't there? There's the Kill the Bill against this criminalising travellers. I mean, nobody could really say that that's a good idea to criminalise travellers.
I know.
And there's also the Palestine group, you know, Extinction Rebellion, whoever they are. The idea is to try and get all these protest groups at each other's throats. That seems to me to be the plan.
I think you're right there. I think you're right. But I think also some of these protest groups, we do need to be wary of who's like funding them and who's at the top of them. But they are taking on, you know, some of them have hundreds and thousands of followers, and the followers perhaps don't know who.
Well, no, I mean, I do agree with you, but we don't want to become like the Labour Party, you know, where they spend much more time fighting their own side than fighting the Tories.
That's right. Absolutely. And I think we've got to put that aside and just work together. And not only is it the various groups, but the latest thing that I've become aware of is the divide. Again, it's divide and conquer, whether it's like, you know, in the early days, they were trying to separate the young people from killing your granny. So there was that divide, and there's black against white. And, you know, there's so many divisions that they're creating. Wear a mask, don't wear a mask. So the latest is obviously the vaccinated and the non-vaccinated. So I, you know, and again, going back to the plague, it's like we are the rats that are carrying this killer virus. And I've noticed some people have contacted me either in a group, you know, on person to person, or they're sending me emails saying, what do we do when a vaccinated person wants to join the network? And I said, well, in my opinion, I would invite them in, ask them, first of all, why, and this is in the newsletter, why they want to join. You know, is it because they want to know what we're doing and they're kind of infiltrating, so that's not a good thing? Or is it because they've had a wake-up call and they think, I've had my jab, I wish I hadn't, what do I need to do about it? So that's where I'm at now. As
I think you have to be, because anyway, if someone says they've had the jab or haven't had the jab, you know, do you really want to be the person that says you've got to prove it before you can join the network? And of course, As there's more and more people getting affected by the vaccines and adversely, then, of course, they are starting to think, well, maybe I'd like to de-inject this thing if I possibly could. But look, you also in this newsletter, the latest one, you've got a thing about petitions as well, which is great. Of course, that's another way people can do things. But, well, it's not really doing something. It's more clicking away, isn't it? But I mean, you can actually get things debated in Parliament and things like that through these petitions. But there's quite an important thing called the Together Declaration, which I think is about vaccine passports, isn't it? This whole concept, which it looks to me there's such a head of steam, not from the Labour Party particularly, but from the Lib Dems in political and also from within the Tory party to stop this. So it may be that this is a winnable battle. But what is this Together Declaration?
Well, that, I mean, if you clicked on it, it's been set up by a bunch of people that are trying to actually join all the various groups because we are so disjointed. And initially, when I set up the network, it was to try and bring all the groups together. So with just talking about the Freedom Network, it's basically literally networking for freedom, whether you're an individual, whether you're a group, whether you're established or whatever. It's just a means of finding people. So when you go onto the website, then you can go onto the map and you'll see if there's a group there already. If not, the email will come to me and I set you up. And then you're not so much on your own, but, you know, we're not organising anything. We're not from a pyramid scheme here where we're at the top saying you've got to do this, that and the other. It's a grassroots, autonomous society that we're trying to create. And I'm just loosely, you know, linking the people together. Now, with this Together initiative, lots of people are coming together from these various groups. And that, I think, is a really good thing, because that's what we need to do. We need to join. We need to bring all the groups together and the individuals and take action. So that's why I would add it.
Yeah. And yes. And also fighting the vaccine passports right across the country. I personally think that's a definitely a winnable one, because there isn't. We had this big fight against ID cards all those years ago in Britain.
We did.
And nobody is kind of, and I think maybe we should tip a hat to George Orwell for that, because he kind of made us aware that this was some way of, you know, tracking people was going to be used as a totalitarian method in the next war or the next generation. That's what he was hinting at, of course, when he was writing in the 1950s. But okay, yeah. So the next subject on your is what's in the vaccines. Now, this is a great one, I think, because as we know, the actual composition of these vaccines is kept very secret by the manufacturers. They don't put a whole thing out there saying this is exactly what's in it. What they do is they'll give you a list of potential side effects, but they won't say what's in there. So this is really important, isn't it? Surely if we're sticking something into our arm, we should know what's in it.
Well, you would think so. If you're putting anything into your body, you know, if you're eating food quite often, or a menu, you want to know what's in it before you're putting it in the body. And that's what really surprises me, because also what I'm doing now, I'm chatting to people, doing little videos of people that contact me. And I'm saying, well, you've got really good information here. Can we do a chat? And then I can put it on one of the channels that we've set up. And there was a chap yesterday called James Hunt, and he had been vaccinated, but he now realises that he shouldn't have been vaccinated because he's done some research. He's a lovely chap, and we've got like a 20, 30-minute, you know, talk about it and what made him think about it. And he didn't even realise that the vaccine was experimental, because he said, I'm just being a good citizen. I'm following the narrative. I'm doing what my government has told me. But then my son started sending me things. And I thought, oh, this is a bit odd. And he started to look, and then so the information is there to find out what is in the vaccine and to know that it is experimental, because a lot of people, they don't actually know it's experimental, and they have no idea what's in it. And it beggars belief, to be honest, that people do not think to actually look. They want an easy life, and that's what I find very frustrating.
Well, I mean, it is, but you know, people just do what they see everyone else around them doing. And also, I think it's a very devious, devilish side to all of this, which is people are being tricked into thinking what they're doing is actually helping all those around them, where actually they could be putting an end to themselves potentially. And actually helping spread things even. Well, anyway, look, the next section are probably the most important, which is this whole move at the moment to vaccinate children, Karen.
I know, it's horrific. I mean, I'm very relieved that my children are no longer school age. And they're on my page, but obviously they're being taunted, aren't they? Because my daughter was just at a Reading festival where they had a vaccination tent there. And most of the people that she was with are vaccinated. So, you know, they're the young crew. There was one in Brighton. I think they popped up a, you know, the big vaccination tent or something at Brighton, the shopping mall. So they are encouraging the children as much as possible, the young people. And they know what they're doing again. It's absolutely sickening, because kids want to go out and party. They want to go to festivals. They want to travel. And that's the reason why they say, well, yeah, I'll have a vaccine because I want to go on holiday, or I want to do this, that and the other. Half of them can't anyway. And you know, when you go on holiday and you get on a plane, you go to the other side. God knows what's going on in the other countries. It's horrific. And again, looking at the newsletters, we've got this Gillick competence thing, which is unbelievable, that it's giving young people the right to make decisions about their own body, and they've got no idea other than the fact that they want to go out and party.
There are some parents who are even considering, and I don't know if they've actually done it, keeping their children away from school to make sure that they don't get vaccinated, you know, behind their backs.
That's right, they have done it. And also, again, through the network, it's great, because I'm talking to these people, and for instance, a lot of people that I know of are home educating their children now, which I would be doing if my children were at school. There's no way I'd be allowing them to go to school, because I just wouldn't trust it, partly because of this Gillick competence. And we had it before when my daughter, she's 19 now, so when she was at school, and they offer the young ladies, I think, what, they 13 or 14, this vaccination to prevent them getting a cervical cancer, I can't remember what the jab's called now, and I was against it. And so you get the letter, and I wrote back. I said, no, thank you, we're not having that. So then they wrote to my daughter, and this is going back like 5 or 6 years. So this is a Gillick competence thing that we're talking about. They asked my daughter, they said, well, your mum said no, but if you want to, you can have it. And whatever your mum says, we're going to ignore. We're going to go with you. So she was 14 or 15. Luckily, she's got the common sense, and I told her about it. We're very open in the family, and she didn't have it. But there was only her and her one friend, two of them out of the whole of the class, the rest of them had it. And this is, again, it's the skill at competence. So if you are there, if you're in the environment, if you're in the school, that can be enough for people to, you know, just be jabbed. And you've got the peer pressure. So it's very difficult for one child or one young person to say, no, thank you, I don't want it, when all the friends are saying, oh, go on. It's hard being a teenager anyway. So they know what they're doing, these people, the creatures behind this. They've done a very, my hat goes off to the way they've done it. But it's beyond evil.
But look, included in this, there's things about the moon landings. I mean, chemtrails. Are you sure it's a good idea to be including that sort of stuff with the information to help people cope with the medical tyranny we're going through at the moment?
Well, I think it's a good point, because I'm kind of the messenger, to be honest, Tony. As I say, the groups, the people that come to me, some of them haven't had access to any of this information. They're just thinking, oh, it's about a jab, you know, and nothing more. But there is an ulterior motive behind this, which is a little bit sinister. And I think when you start looking, then you can find answers. And people might just be getting fed up with learning about COVID. They think, well, you know, what else is going on? So I'm just sowing seeds, which is what I do. I sow seeds. I go through the stuff that people send me and I share it. And some of the stuff I research myself. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I'd like to know more about that. Look at it,
but isn't it a bit, you know, difficult, because people can't question everything? It's almost like it's too much to take on all at once.
It is less is more. Some people say less is more, and actually I can't remember when, but a few months ago I said, right, there's enough information out there now. You've got your, you know, Telegram groups and WhatsApp groups and all these other groups that have set up so you can find your own information. And then people came back. I said, no, can you please carry on with these newsletters, because you send us information that we either don't have time to find out ourselves, because some of them are working, some of them, you know, are carers, some of them have got children, so they don't actually have the time. And some people said, we actually run our meetings, because I encourage through the network, I send out this newsletter, but when somebody contacts me, I send them just a basic idea of how to set up a hub. And it's common sense, really. Obviously, if you're going to set up a group, you'll need more than one person. So, you know, get a group together and then start discussing what do you want to do. And some of them might not have children, but they might be more interested in the moon landings or 9/11 or whatever else comes their way. So it's just me just sowing seeds so people can go and do what they want to do. I haven't spent a lot of time on this other thing, but when this video about the moon landings came, I saw a different version of it a long time ago, and then I thought it was white. So I thought, oh, I want this, because I think people do need to see it, because they will try and wipe it, because
the thing is, it can also potentially be used to discredit people if they pick it up and run with it. But anyhow, look, one of the really good bits of news, let's finish with that, in the latest newsletter you've been sending out, is this brilliant directory of doctors prescribing therapy and actual treatment for COVID, which is this ridiculous idea of not treating COVID and just letting people die. I don't know how we managed to be clapping the NHS as they were doing that. Who knows? Yeah. I mean, that's horrific, isn't it? But you know, looking at the, like I say, the good news, Germany stopping the vaccination program and the Danes stopping the idea of a vaccine passport. So there is some good news as well in there. It's not all bad.
No, it's what's going on. But it's interesting, the one about Germany, somebody contacted me and said that's not actually true. It was part of something else. I haven't had the chance to go back in and look. And I said, OK, that's fine. But the information is there, and they can if they have got the time, they can go and research.
As I understand it, it's not that Germans haven't actually stopped the vaccine, but there's a big effort in Germany to stop it. So, you know, it's a whole organisation.
That's a good thing. Absolutely, that's a good thing.
Of doctors and lawyers all getting together to challenge it legally.
Yeah, which is what we need. And there's also a link in here about whistleblowers that somebody sent my way, which is a great thing, because, you know, there's so many people that do know what's going on behind the scenes, but they're tied. So they can anonymously join this web site.
So, Karen, this is all fascinating stuff. How do people get hold of your newsletter? What's the best way to get on your mailing list for that? And also the Freedom Network.
Yeah, so What I would suggest they do is just go onto the website, which is birthfreedomnetwork.co.uk. And it's great now because I've got a lovely new tribal friend called Antonia, who is helping me with the website. So she is now putting the newsletters, and I need to send her the previous ones that we've written because there's lots of them, but there's some very good links. So she's going to add them to the website. And also the main thing really is to get people setting up their own hubs, because it is about working together and linking together. Even if you've got your own group in your own town, that's fine. You don't have to be called the Freedom Network. It really doesn't matter. It's just, it's a case of knowing that we're all out there and we're all kind of loosely connected. So that's what I would suggest. Go onto the website. But we also have an online platform called the Mighty Network Freedom Hub. And that's just an online platform. There's about 2,000 members there. There should be 20,000, to be honest, but the Telegram thing, I think, is kind of takes it over. But, and I find Telegram frustrating because it's so bitty. But whereas with this Freedom, the Mighty Network Freedom Hub, there are hubs within that. So you can link up to your local groups, or you can join somebody that is into cryptocurrency or into poetry or into 5G. So there's lots of hubs within that. So it's, again, it's an online community that people can chat and share. And that's all over the world as well. But we do really focus on my main thing is about meeting people in the flesh, you know, Zooms and stuff like that. That's great. And Skype calls and the internet is great. But we do need to be hugging and touching and being in the flesh and supporting each other. So that's kind of where I'm at with that. I was just going to say the other thing, because when we were talking about the doctors and the stuff, and I was going about a whistleblower, we're also where it's really important where people are working together now. And if you've got people that are vaccinated and they're joining us, I mean, what the plan is, we're frightened of them and they're frightened of us. So my next initiative is to find ways to overcome people's fear. And that is, you know, there's a lot of information out there about what to take, the herbal remedies or the ivermectin or whatever else it is. But we're running little workshops. And we've got one locally on Tuesday where I've got experts in their own field. There's four ladies coming. It's funny how the women are really leading this war that we're through. But they're talking about how you can overcome the jab physically. So what you can take to remove the toxins from your body, and also how to support yourself mentally, emotionally and spiritually. All those ways of actually working to get your immune system back on track. So whether you've taken the vaccination or you haven't, you know, we can come together and we can support each other and be really healthy through this. So that's also a very important aspect of networking.
The $64,000 question is, where are we going to be in 2 or 3 years' time? Where do you see this heading?
I think we're in the tunnel, you know, and there is light at the end of the tunnel. I'm a positive person, and I think we will get there, because it is a war on spirituality and consciousness. You know, what they are trying to do with a transhuman agenda. And they're not going to win, because light conquers all. It takes one match to light up a massive dark basement, doesn't it? And there's a lot of beacons of light flooding the planet. So I do see that we're going to have our Garden of Eden ultimately. And I think it's going to be a better place, because the world is a bit of a mess and it needs a shake up. Before this COVID stuff, there's a lot of greed in the world and lack of balance, and it does need to be shaken up. So I think that's where we're going to go, but we've got to win it. We've got to earn it.
Yeah, well, you know, you've just worried me slightly, because that's exactly what Prince Charles and Klaus Schwab are saying. The whole world needs a big shake up.
Yes, well, but it's true. It is. Build back better. Yeah, you will own nothing and be happy. And it actually, that really made me laugh, because we have conferences. We've got a conference in September. And the last one we did, and we were packing it up. And my friend, she did crack me up, because there was so much stuff that we had to put away, put in the van. And she said, well, you will own nothing and be happy. And I got it. I thought, yeah, because we have so much stuff. But of course, it's not like that at all, because they are the people that are trying to bring the planet down and bring humanity down. So we're going to go back to our Avatar, one of my favorite movies before the bulldozers came in. We're going to connect more with nature. We're going to be in community. You know, we're going to look after our elderly. We're going to bring them into our communities and our tribes rather than shove them in a nursing home. So we're going to go back to basics, I think, but also with the advance of technology that is there, there's a lot of it that has been hidden behind the scenes. So I think we're going to be superhumans. I think our telepathy is going to, you know, our sixth sense is going to be opened up, because they've tried to close that down with so many, in so many methods, shut down our pineal gland. But I think we're going to have access to that and access to beautiful things. I'm very positive. But as I say, we've got to earn it. I think we've got to go there. We've got to unite. We've got to work together. And maybe part of that process with the egos and these people that are setting up their own groups and they want to be separate, you know, we've got to work together and love each other, basically.
Well, I know, but I think you sort of sidestepped the question there, because it does look as if there is a very powerful movement controlled by basically what is now basically the privatized version of the United Nations called the World Economic Forum. They've been running these Davos conferences for decades in the Swiss Alps in a very sneaky, clever fashion to make sure that, you know, none of the protesters can sleep out in tents right up in the intense freezing cold of the Alps in order to protest against them. But they are also saying a similar thing. They're saying, oh, there's going to be a big shakeup and we're going to control the outcome. I mean, it sounds to me as if that's going to be a bit of a contest.
Well, if, you know, I was going to say something here. When I before we started recording, you asked me what I was doing before I set up the network, and I've got a charity called Friends of Chima and Kizzy, and we build schools and work with the women that conduct the FGM, the female genital mutilation. So we're teaching them to do other things, and there I was in Sierra Leone, one of the poorest countries in the world. And I got a phone call from my son, who was a ski instructor, and he was actually in Davos instructing one of these key players because it was during the World Economic Forum. And to me, it was just, I can't believe it. I was in the middle. There I was in the poorest country in the world and talking to somebody, my son, who was speaking to those that are the richest people in the world. And that was, a wake-up call for me, because I thought, how out of sync, how out of balance this is. You've got we're all human. So that's why I say we need to shake up this 1% that have got far too much, way too much. How many yachts do you need? You know, how many houses do you need? There's so much money, you can't spend it in 100 lifetimes. So it's not just about the wealth, it's about power. And that's what needs to be sorted out. I think the people that are greedy and are sort of power and the psychopaths, we need to clear up. So and therefore, with the Freedom Network, these are autonomous groups. There's nobody at the top saying you're going to own nothing. If you want to own nothing, that's fine. But if you want to own a lot, that's fine as well. Do what you want to do. Autonomous groups that need to be set up. And I have these questionnaires I send out, and the people that do send them in, the answers are virtually all the same. They want community. You know, they want to be with their friends, their family. They want to get on and live their lives. They don't all want big houses and stuff like that. Maybe some of them can. That's fine as well. It's up to them. But basically, we want to come back into community and work together and work on the land with the land.
OK, so do you think that the World Economic Forum has got some of the right solutions then?
No. No, I don't, because they've got ulterior motives. They're telling us all this nonsense that, you know, it's the same as this green agenda, you know, which is all part of that's the next plan, isn't it? They're going to stop us walking in fields. They're going to stop us swimming in the sea. We've seen a little bit with the lockdown where people have been surfing and they've been fined $1,000 because they've been surfing. I mean, what's that got to do with COVID? It's absolutely absurd. And what was it in New Zealand? I saw something the other day that they were saying, the health minister there, she was saying, don't order anything online because you're putting in jeopardy the driver of that package that's going to be delivered to you. I mean, it's absolutely absurd. They want us in our boxes. They want us in our cages, watching nonsense TV and eating pizza delivered by you know, not by taxis, by Uber. That's what they want. They don't want us out enjoying nature. And because of that, they are setting up this ridiculous agenda, you know, that we've got to save the planet. But that's obviously, I think, for another day, that conversation.
Karen Dodd, thanks very much for joining us.
You're welcome. Pleasure to speak to you. Thank you very much, Tony.